Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion of Lamb Ministries. I want to welcome you to our special broadcast for this Mother's Day. We, in thinking about Mother's Day and wanting to say thank you to the mothers and for all that they do, we decided that we would share a special program with you. I'm going to share a teaching. It's from Proverbs 31, and it talks about an excellent wife or an excellent woman, and that certainly applies to mothers. So I'm going to share this teaching with you in honor of our mothers and for those who are mothers amongst us. If you go to the average man and say, could you explain women, could you explain your wife to us, he's going to be faced with a daunting task. The fact of the matter is that women are highly complex creatures made by God. They have perplexed men for ages, and men struggle to try to figure out and to understand them. Different books have been written by different teachers, developmental psychologists. One in particular I love is that men are from Mars, women are from Venus. It's almost like we come from different planets, and then we come here on Earth and we're trying to figure out how to communicate with one another and understand one another. And it seems that the women don't have that much difficulty understanding men, but men certainly do have difficulty understanding women. And of course, I'm certain that you've heard the expression by other men where you can't live with them, can't live without them. Well, we're not going to necessarily just sit here and poke fun at what is this perplexing question for men. Instead, what I'd really like to do is share with you some real wisdom from the scriptures that really does do a pretty good job of explaining women and mothers and wives to men. And in fact, the context of Proverbs 31 that I'm going to share with you is actually a mother explaining to her son about an excellent mother or an excellent wife. It's not man's wisdom trying to explain to another man. It is actually a woman who's going to give the perspective and give the teaching to the man so he can understand. So that's the context and how we begin this study here that we're going to take from Proverbs 31. As many of you know, Proverbs is a very fascinating book in the Bible. There's 31 Proverbs that are given there, for the most part compiled by Solomon, the wisest man of the world. And little tidbits of wisdom and knowledge that goes along. He's trying to explain how to gain wisdom. And I've had various teachers in my past say, you know, if you read one of the Proverbs each day, after many years, you'll become much wiser as to what's going on in the world. Proverbs 31, as I said, is the one that's going to come down to kind of the crowning thing about wisdom. And it's going to talk about a wise woman. And it's going to talk about how man can recognize the wise woman that is there. The book of Proverbs also is a unique book in that in the Hebrew scriptures now, it's one of three books that the scribes, when they write the book out in the Hebrew, they take the first letter of the first word of the book and they enlarge it. Now, this is true in the case of Genesis 1:1, Bereshit, they enlarge the bet for Bereshit. But when we get to Proverbs, they're going to enlarge the first letter of the first word of that book, and the letter is the letter Mem. Now, they do so because each Hebrew letter in the alphabet has a specific meaning, and I need to make mention of that because when we get to Proverbs 31, this is extensively going to be used as a technique to explain a wise woman and a wise mother. The letter Mem has to do with what is defined as chaotic waters. And chaotic waters, we're talking about the waters that would come forth when there's a birth. They're the fluids that are within the womb that as the baby gets ready to be born, why the woman will break water. And of course, that produces chaos in the house. Oh my gosh, you know, we're going to have a baby here very shortly. You know, the excitement and all of the kinds of things that are associated with an impending birth. And so this letter represents something very unique in concepts in the Bible. It's used a couple of times in a couple of different places. to bring out this point. It's in the womb that the flesh of the child is joined with a soul. A living soul is joined with a flesh. And so when the baby is born, it has a body and it has a soul. And they're joined in the womb. And that's the probably the foremost thing that makes a woman a woman, is that her body has been the womb that has brought together another person into the world, reproduced into the world, and a new soul has entered into a new body and has come forth into the world. So special emphasis is given to the whole book of Proverbs about how do you get wisdom to go along with your body. Now, when we get to Proverbs 31, we're going to see something even more unique that is done. And this is a little bit of a surprise to people. Proverbs 31 is going to start off, the first 9 verses or so, explaining from a mother to a son, real wisdom for the son's life. And basically the counsel in those verses is that you need to be careful about how many libations you enjoy. In other words, you need to be modest and careful about how much you consume when it comes to drinking. And there is no better counsel that can be given to a young man, because most young men, when they get started, the thing that will trip them up, the first thing, is excessive drinking. So this is the counsel from a mother to a son. It says, if you could watch that, that's a very important step. Now, the next step that the mother is giving is your selection of who's going to be your wife, who's going to be the mother of your children. And so she's going to give counsel on what you're looking for. What are the attributes that you're looking for in such a woman? So beginning at verse 10, Proverbs 31, verse 10, and for the next 22 verses, you're going to hear a verse-by-verse description of what this excellent woman is like. And it's laid out in a very significant and special way. Again, in the Hebrew scriptures, the first letter of the first word in each verse is going to follow in sequence the alphabet. The alphabet is like the alphabet for Hebrew. Aleph is the first letter, Bet is the second letter, and it goes on through the 22 letters of the alphabet. So from verse 10, for the next 22 verses, the first letter that you'll see in the Hebrew text is going to be in sequence with the Aleph Bet. And that's a very powerful teaching technique, by the way, to get your attention to see the structure as a whole. But in this particular case, it not only is the meaning of the content in each verse, but there's a meaning in each one of those letters. Just like the letter Mem had its particular meaning, there's a meaning in those letters that ties into what is being expressed. This is a very sophisticated, very wise way of explaining something to us. And I think it goes hand in hand with, for us men, how perplexing it is for us to understand the qualities of a godly woman, the qualities of an excellent wife, a wonderful mother, all the intricate things that make her who she is and how she becomes who she is. So with that in mind, I'm going to take you now to Proverbs 31, and we're going to begin to look at verse 1. And where it specifically starts out for the whole proverb, that it introduces to us and says that we have a mother speaking to a son. Proverbs 31, verse 1 says, the words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. So this is a mother speaking to a king, a man of some prestige, and going to offer counsel to him. Now, he's a man who seeks to understand counsel. He'd be a king, but he's going to get counsel now from an impeccable source. His own mother is going to be explaining. With that introduction, let's now look at verse 10 and see exactly what she begins to explain. The first letter there is the letter Aleph, and it goes, an excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The Hebrew letter Aleph is in the word wife. And the letter Aleph is also the number one in numerics. Solomon shared an amazing observation in his book of Ecclesiastes about the difference between men and women. In Ecclesiastes 7, in verse 28, he said, "I have found one man among a thousand, but I have not found a woman among all of them." And he talks about the rarity of a woman that is wise. Solomon was talking about the special people that he himself had met, people with wisdom. He said that he could find one man in a thousand, but he still couldn't find the same odds for women. A woman with wisdom is a greater treasure than precious stones. And the description is what we find elsewhere in the book of wisdom, in the book of Proverbs. It goes on to explain wisdom itself is defined as the feminine gender and is very rare. Did you know that? Did you know wisdom explained in the book of Proverbs is given the feminine gender? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 15 says, "She," and it's referring to wisdom, "is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her." And additionally, in Proverbs 8 and verse 11, it says, "For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her." And wisdom does not bring shame. Wisdom brings honor, respect, and dignity. Therefore, an excellent woman, an excellent wife, is one who has wisdom, and she brings good things to the home that cannot be purchased. Proverbs also adds this in Proverbs 12 and verse 4. "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is a rottenness to his bones." And this is a common conflict that we see in a lot of marriages, where the wife believes that helping to correct her husband is the best way to help him, when in truth of fact, it's the other way around. It's in complimenting him and respecting him. That's how you become the crown on his head. A wife has the power to multiply a husband. When I first began my ministry, I was told very clearly that the woman that I select to be my wife, she's either going to multiply your ministry or she's going to zero your ministry out. That's how powerful a wife and a mother is. She's a force multiplier in your life. Proverbs 19 and verse 14, additional verses, says, "House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent and a wise wife is from the Lord." And so that's kind of fascinating. It puts it in perspective of how powerful the woman, the mother, can be into the household for her husband and for her children. And there's always been a struggle in most homes between the husband and the wife. And the quicker the wife can learn this basic principle, the more that she's going to be on the path of being a great success to not only herself, but to her whole family and to her husband. The next verse, which it reads this, "The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain." The Hebrew letter bet is in the word trust. And the letter bet means house. The ability to trust one another is the hallmark of any relationship. Trust is the best synonym for another powerful term in a relationship, belief. Trust is essential to be able to have belief. Her husband believes in her. She is trustworthy. This is more than the woman saying the right thing and her deeds matching her words. It's about her husband's faith in her, and it is about his home being a safe place for him. Have you ever heard the expression, "Behind every good man is a good woman"? Well, this is particularly true. This is a home in which that the husband recognizes that his wife, the mother of his children, is a joint heir in the grace of life. And as such, she recognizes that and she joins in with him to partner with him in that life together. She knows her husband's strengths and in particular his weaknesses. She reinforces his strengths and helps him with his weaknesses. One of my favorite proverbs about deep friendship and relationship goes like this. A true friend is someone who knows enough information about you to blackmail you and has decided not to. And that is a person who really does know your weaknesses, but doesn't hurt you with them, and instead helps you to deal with them in a proper way. Another proverb that I love, which is, love covers a multitude of sins. In the case of the wife, you're going to do a lot of covering work for your husband. That's what's going to make you very special in that relationship. Now, that is not to make an excuse that the guy can get away with whatever he wants to get away. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the relationship in which the husband trusts his wife and he has no lack of gain in that relationship. The next verse says this, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And the Hebrew letter gimel is at the word she does. And there is no man who doesn't desire good things. We all desire good things. The very purpose of a man taking a wife is desire for a good thing. Proverbs says it this way. Proverbs 18, verse 22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Favor in that particular case is grace, which means unmerited favor. The man is never going to merit her favor. Her favor is a demonstration of God's grace toward him. The fascinating part of this union is that while the man found a good thing in his wife, he really doesn't deserve her. And she's referred to as this grace from God. Therefore, every husband who finds a wife does not deserve her. She's unmerited favor. Wives learn this quickly in marriage. However, let me encourage you, wives should not flaunt this or work this because then it loses the ability to be God's favor. They are absolutely right. No man deserves the wife and the mother of his children. There's no question about it. And honestly, you will not get men to argue against that. That is a wonderful part of what God does for the home through the work of the wife and the mother. And she helps her husband, as the verse says, by giving this favor all the days of his life. The next verse, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. The Hebrew letter dalet is at the word she looks. The letter dalet is the picture of a door. An excellent wife is industrious and creative. She pursues the door of opportunity. She finds ways of enjoyment while doing her work. Wool and flax are the basic materials for clothing. Wool, of course, makes for warmth. Flax is combed to become a linen fabric, which is cool to the skin. In the ancient times, clothing was made by the wife for her husband, herself, and her children. Whether it be handmade or selected from a store, she provides clothing for her family whenever the door of opportunity presents itself. And this is why she looks for the sales of clothes and is delighted with each opportunity, as you see in the verse. The next verse is going to bring out another feature. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. The Hebrew letter hey is at the word she is like. The letter hey is also the picture of a door opening for something to be revealed. For the most part, wives do the shopping for the home. There are many descriptions for this activity of going and getting things needed for the family. The final scene of her is weaving in and out of traffic, the parking lots, the other buyers in line to purchase the precise items that she wants to present to her table. The family is seated at the table and serve their salads, their main dishes, their side dishes, their drinks, and sometimes dessert to follow. The foods arrive hot or cold as planned, and she does it all with a smile. You can see a mother presenting the table for a meal for her family. Very few see or understand the other side of the tapestry, as we say. The excellent wife is the one who reveals the smile to her family, whereas there's a lot of work on her part that is not seen, but it all comes off as a beautiful picture for the rest of the family. The next verse says, she rises also while it is still night. and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. The Hebrew letter Vav is at the word she rises. The letter Vav is a picture of a nail or a peg, and it has the action of adding or securing something together. The letter Vav is also an elongated version of Yod, which is a hand. A Yod is a letter that's small, whereas a Vav is that, but it's elongated longer. It is said that the work of a wife and a mother never ends. She's working at every waking hour. Even if she has maidens to assist her, the excellent wife is assigning tasks and ensuring the proper completion so that the whole house is constructed correctly. And you'll see a good mother who will direct her children to be able to assist her in accomplishing that. An excellent wife will also tell you that it is more work to assign portions to your maidens than it is to just hammer the nail yourself. And mothers, they have to take extra energy to train others to work with them than if they just went and did it themselves. And an excellent wife, excellent mother, will take the time and the energy to train those to work with her. The next verse reads, she considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. The Hebrew letter Zain is at the word she considers. The letter Zain is the picture of a weapon such as a knife. It has to do with the action of cutting something off. When she considers any project, she must cut the task into smaller portions and decide on the process of completion. This consideration also takes into account her current responsibilities at home so as not to conflict with them. Furthermore, she looks for benefit from each step of her process. And being a process planner is a very important skill when it comes to accomplishing different tasks, whether it be to consider to do this additional activity or not from her normal duties. The next verse says she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. The Hebrew letter het is at the word she girds. The letter het is a picture of a fence or of a strong enclosure. This is the picture of her bindings and arms. An excellent wife, mother, has a direct sense of what is private and separated from the world. From the position of strength, she's able to confront those who would seek to potentially do harm to her and her family. She sets a strong fence in place to ensure that her home is a safe environment for everyone that is inside. We all know that there are certain business that is only for the home to know and certain business that can be shared outside the home. A wise mother and a good mother and excellent wife knows how to separate what is to stay in the family and what is can be shared outside of the family. The next verse says she senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. The Hebrew letter tet is at the word she senses. The letter tet is the picture of what surrounds an excellent wife, mother, is surrounded by things which are good for her and her family. Some teachers have suggested that her lamp not going out at night is about working late. I tend to disagree with that suggestion here. I believe that the lamp at night addresses her surroundings. She's surrounded by light, not by darkness, even at night. And there's an environment around her that is good, that she promotes and builds that environment. One of the lessons I've learned in leadership is that leaders don't actually do work. All they do is build an environment for other excellent people to accomplish lots of things. And I think that a wise mother and a wife builds an environment so that everyone in the family does well and does even better than they could before. The next verse says, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. The Hebrew letter Yod is at the word hands, and the letter Yod means the work of the hand. An excellent wife and mother does the work of the distaff and the spindle. A distaff holds a bundle of flax. A spindle is on a tapered rod that's used to spin the thread of the flax into linen. takes one hand on the distaff and the other on the spindle, and the concentration to spin the thread. But this expression used in Proverbs has another more powerful meaning. It addresses the skill of a mother's hands. The hands of a mother comfort, pick up, clean, smooth, bandage, etc., all the different things. And the list goes on and on. It seems like that she has more than two hands because she does these things at the same time. This is a more powerful meaning of the verse. Normally, the distaff is used by one hand while the other hand works the spindle. The verse uses the word hands, plural, in each case. She has multiple hands on the distaff and multiple hands on the spindle. This is the description of the true material work and why the verse begins with the letter Yod, the working hand. The excellent wife is able to do multiple things as a mother and a homemaker with her hands. It is in our language today, her hands multitask. And multitasking is a great skill for a excellent wife and a mother. The next verse reads, she extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. The Hebrew letter kaf is at the word hand. However, the difference here from the letter yod is that kaf is the picture of an open hand. An open hand can be used to cover, to open, or to allow something to happen. An excellent wife and mother's hand is extended to the poor and the needy. Her hand is open to them. The goodness enjoyed by her family is also extended to others beyond her family. Sharing with those in need is a never-ending task for her. God's way of giving is contrary to all logic and understanding by men. Men tend to limit their giving. If I give too much, I won't have enough for me. But the kind of giving that God instructs us to give is illustrated by the open hand. God's giving is done with an open hand. It is extended and not brought back until the need is met or the hand is empty. An excellent wife exercises this way of giving by extending an open hand to those that have need. Our next verse says, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. The Hebrew letter lamed is at the word not. The letter lamed is the picture of a shepherd's staff or a goad for herding. Most instructions given by the shepherd to the flock or by the herdsman is the instruction not that way or simply no. This verse uses the letter lamed to emphasize the excellent wife is not afraid. Not being afraid is about staying warm and dry. Fear is what keeps most women from being an excellent wife and mother. If she is afraid for her provisions or for her protection, particularly for her children, then she will act out of fear. In an ideal world, the husband would obey the Lord fully and provide and protect his family in every circumstance. However, we do not live in such a world. I wish we did. An excellent wife must say no to her fears. She must let her husband keep the shepherd's staff and let him solve the problem. When she takes the staff from her husband, she removes the very tool he needs to do good. Not being afraid of letting her husband carry the staff and permitting him to do the work of the shepherd. Fear is what will drive people to make mistakes. And it's important for an excellent wife to not be afraid of the things that could come. And we're always fearing what could be. What we need to be dealing with is what do we have in front of us right now. Work that problem. You can't solve the problem for tomorrow, but you can work the problem you have today. An excellent wife and mother knows that. The next verse reads, she makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. The Hebrew letter mem is at the word coverings. The letter mem is the picture of waters. Waters are the symbol of birth, not only physical birth, but of spiritual rebirth. And beginning with Moses, with the waters from the rock, the Messiah has emphasized this spiritual picture of himself as the rock of our salvation. We refer to them as the waters of salvation and being born of the Spirit. Many read this verse and think that the fine linen coverings of an excellent wife are new apparel. This is shallow and slides past the point. Fine linen and purple are the garments of the saints who dwell in the kingdom. Revelation 19, verse 8 says, "And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." You must be born again from the waters of salvation to wear these coverings, and an excellent wife and mother does not adorn herself with the world's definition of clothing. She wears the garments of salvation. They have been washed and made bright and clean by the water from the rock. The next verse reads, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land." The Hebrew letter nun is at the word is. The letter nun is about the quickening of life. It is a picture of a fish darting through the water. It can even represent the resurrection from the dead. A man rises each day and goes out to face the world. He needs to rise with strength and the belief that he can accomplish something. How can he rise with such strength and belief in himself? It's a very simple thing. It's called respect. He needs to be respected. An excellent wife is the best source of this respect in all of his world. If she speaks praises and good into his life, he will believe that he can do good and will renew his strength each day of his life. However, if she speaks criticism, contempt, and complaints into his life, he will be forced to seek respect somewhere else. Respect from other sources will never be enough, and it will never satisfy his need. Many women refuse to give a full measure of respect to their husbands. They don't believe that they deserve it. Further, they fear that his male ego will run away with him or he will take advantage of her. The truth is that every man knows in his heart that the testimony of his wife is more powerful, more truthful than the rest of the world. If she says that he's a hero and a champion, then he is. His chances for success outside of his house are in direct measure to his success with his own wife in his house. An excellent wife and mother helps her husband rise up each day to face his challenges. She is a primary source of respect and praise. She sees beyond his weaknesses and fulfills him with courage to do good. This is why she is known in the gates and sits with other leaders. The next verse says, "She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies belts to the tradesmen." The Hebrew letter samak is the word at the word linen garments. The letter samak is a picture of something that supports something else. A belt supports and holds up a pair of trousers or helps to carry a load. Certain linen garments do the same. In particular, linen garments are worn to support those who are anointed and ordained to serve. Leviticus 16, verse 32 says, "So the priest who is anointed and ordained to serve as a priest in his father's place shall make atonement. He shall thus put on linen garments, the holy garments." An excellent wife has the skills to support others. In particular, she's able to support those who are anointed and ordained to God's service. It is primarily for her husband, but it can be extended to those in the community of faith. And just as she cares for her family with multiple hands and extended an open hand to the needy, she's able to support her husband and offer support to others under his leadership as well. Our next verse reads, "Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future." The Hebrew letter ain is at the word strength. The letter ain is the same Hebrew word for eye. It is a picture of seeing, knowing, or experiencing for yourself. How a woman clothes herself is all about how she wants to be seen. Most women want to be seen as attractive, some even as enticing and alluring. It is part of the human instinct for the selection of a mate and a companion for life. However, spiritual women also know that clothing must be modest and appropriate. She still wants to look nice for her husband and family. She knows that adornment and clothing sends such a message. She wants to adorn herself just as the Lord does. Psalms 93 verse 1 says, "The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord has clothed and girded himself with strength." The Lord instructed Job to adorn himself as the Lord does himself. Job 40 verse 10. "Adorn yourself with eminence and dignity and clothe yourself with honor and majesty." We are way beyond color and pattern here. Clothing is all about what you see with the eye, ain. But the excellent wife and mother has transcended that. An excellent wife sees things from an eternal perspective, and she can see her future, and that causes her to smile because she knows what will be the end result. The next verse reads, "She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." The Hebrew letter pei is the word mouth. And the letter pei is the picture of the mouth. It is an action of opening your mouth and what you speak with your mouth. The mouth can also be used to speak wisdom and kindness. This is what marks and identifies the excellent wife and mother. Many brethren can tell what the greatest commandment is, to love God with all your heart, soul, and might. They can even tell you the second commandment, to love your neighbors yourself, but very few leaders can tell you what is the least of the commandments. An excellent wife can teach you that one act, the act of kindness in a word or deed. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 reads, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart." The next verse reads, "She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." The Hebrew letter tesadi is at the word looks well. The letter tesadi is the picture of a hook. It is an action of desire and how it captivates or motivates you to do something. An excellent wife looks well to the ways of her household because she's hooked with desire for them. She keeps herself busy and is self-motivated to do a task. You do not have to motivate an excellent wife or mother. She's automatically desirous for her husband, her children, and her home. The next verse reads, "Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying." The Hebrew letter kuf is at the word rise up. The letter kuf is about the place at the back of the head. It is the placement of something behind or at the end. It comes last. The best praise is like the best laughter, which comes last. The back of the head is where the hand goes when a blessing is being placed. And an excellent wife and mother will experience blessing from her family and husband, but the blessings and the praises referred to here are the most meaningful. They're referring to the hand of blessing that's placed at the back of the head. The next verse reads, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." The Hebrew letter resh is at the word many. The letter resh represents the head. It is about the head person, the person at the head of the list, or the highest person. The reference here is to the ranking among peers. The praise of a husband is the highest praise a wife can receive. Regardless of the personal bias of it being married to her, the praise of her husband is from the same man who is known in the gates. He sits with the elders of the community. If he says that she has excelled them all, then he has the authority to render such a judgment. An excellent wife and mother is not embarrassed by such praise. She knows how to be raised above others with grace and humility. The next verse reads, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." The Hebrew letter shin is at the word deceitful. The letter shin means teeth. It is an action of being destroyed or torn apart by teeth or being consumed. The letter shin is the single letter of Shaddai, Almighty God. The Lord's power is sufficient to destroy any enemy. And an excellent woman and mother knows that real beauty is within. Outward physical beauty and charm are more for deceiving and leading others into vanity. Many women have natural beauty, but they fall prey to the temporal power. They use their charms to get their way. An excellent wife refrains from this deceit. She uses wisdom and kindness to accomplish far more. Physical beauty will not lead to praise in the end. It is, at best, praise at the beginning. An excellent wife is the recipient of praises that last forever. The last verse. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. The Hebrew letter Tav is at the word give. The letter Tav is a sign. It is a seal or a covenant of an agreement. The praises of an excellent wife are sealed and are sure in their future. In all her efforts to do good for others, she has invested her rewards into the future. It is a future of the Messiah's kingdom with his reward system. You've heard the expression, doing good is its own reward. This is particularly true for an excellent wife and mother, and is evidenced by the interest earned in the Messiah's kingdom. Her works will be waiting at the gates. All wives, at some time or another, do each of these. Some wives do several of these different attributes on a regular basis. It seems that this list of attributes is just an outline of what an excellent wife and mother does. Over the course of a marriage, a story is told. It is true. Mom was right. An excellent wife and mother is even better than mom herself. And that's what a young man learns about an excellent wife and to be the mother of his own children. On this Mother's Day, I pray that you will receive a blessing, a thank you, a recognition of your efforts, and that you'll be encouraged to continue to do so, because truly we are all the recipients of the work and the labor of our mothers, and we are who we are today because of them. So from the bottom of our hearts, thank you, Mom, and thank you for loving us. Shalom.